Good morning, everyone. My name is Juan Gaitán, Cellnex Head of Investor Relations. I would like to thank you for joining us today for our Q1 2017 results conference call. I'm joined today by José Manuel Aisa, CFO and M&A Director, who will lead today's presentation. We have earlier today posted a presentation which we will refer to throughout our prepared remarks, and then we'll open the line for a Q&A session. Now, please, José Manuel.
Good morning, and thank you so much for your time today. Let me please start by highlighting the main milestones of the period on slide four. We have again posted a solid set of results based on the following pillars. We continue to generate a strong organic growth in line with our guidance. We are improving the visibility on our future organic growth by reaching two strategic agreements. First of all, we have signed a framework agreement with the fourth mobile operator in Italy, allowing them for full flexibility on their future network deployment. Second, we have reached a new agreement for the commission of further 400 sites. We are reaffirming our 2017 guidance, and I would like to highlight our very high conversion ratio, even without rate status. That is the highest in the sector. We continue to successfully tap the credit markets by issuing long-term instruments at very attractive terms. Last but not least, we continue to lead a unique value proposition in the European tower sector based on tailored MSAs, neutrality, long-term approach, and a strong relationship with our customers. On slide five, you can see the strong performance of our key value metrics, with adjusted EBITDA growing annually at around 30%, and recurring levered free cash flow per share growing at around 10% over the last 2 years. Moving to slide six, total TOPs have increased by 20%, and our consolidated customer ratio by 6%. This includes both the contribution of organic growth and the change of perimeter in the period. If we look at organic growth only, new PoPs have increased by 5%, so we are in line with our medium-term organic growth guidance, showing the strength of our current operations. Additionally, DAS nodes have increased 6% in the quarter, and we are working hard to make this new activity a significant contributor to Cellnex revenues going forward. In terms of organic growth drivers, you can see on slide 7 our view for new organic PoPs, as well as the progress of our decommissioning and build-to-suit program. New PoPs from multi-tenancy are expected to be generated at a rate in line with our guidance. And these quarterly results confirm this trend. Our decommissioning program now shows a 45% progress, thanks to the recent agreement reached to dismantle 400 additional sites, thus providing us with even more visibility on our future organic growth. Progress on our build-to-suit program includes our recent agreement with Bouygues Telecom in France, and we are already taking the first steps in close coordination with our customer. Before moving to slide 9, and as a reminder, please note that additional financial information can be obtained from the investor relations section of our website, where a detailed Excel file is available. You can see on this slide the evolution of POPs and our consolidated tenancy ratio, which increases mainly explained by consistent organic growth and change of perimeter. As you can see, we have managed to add 1,000 organic POP year on a year-by-year basis, with 289 being generated this quarter only, reaching a tenancy ratio of 1.63 if change of perimeter is included. Also, we are pursuing new organic growth opportunities in all businesses areas, with a special mention to the framework agreement we have recently signed with the fourth mobile operator in Italy, which will provide them with full flexibility for their network deployment in the country. We are also proud to announce a new project for the commissioning of 400 third-party towers. We continue to pursue commercial opportunities in the DAS small cells area and sign a new contract with T-Systems for the provision of LAN support for Inmarsat onboard communications solution. Last but not least, I would like to remind you that Cellnex expects no impact from the second digital dividend, that DTT spectrum is secure at least until 2030, and that we also expect to benefit from new mobile communication services deployed as a result of more spectrum available to operators and 5G. On the next slide, you can find a comprehensive explanation of our adjusted EBITDA evolution. You can see how the positive impact of the switch on of the new TV channel last year is reinforced by organic growth contribution and change of perimeter, explaining the strong adjusted EBITDA increase in the period of 33%. Moving to our capital structure on slide 9-11, you can see our debt maturities profile as of April, with an average maturity of around 6.5 years. No material refinancing required prior to 2022, and a strong protection against potential interest rate increase as a result of the fixed cost nature of our debt. All in all, we have a long-term capital structure in place at attractive terms, with 2 billion of liquidity between cash and available credit lines, providing us with full flexibility to optimize available funding alternatives. Let me please now explain on slide 12 our recent levered free cash flow generation in the period. I would like to start by highlighting that the cash conversion ratio of EBITDA into recurring levered free cash flow in the period has been a strong 84%. Looking now to revenues, the contribution from telecom infrastructure services and broadcasting increase, with a very well-contained cost base, leading to an adjusted EBITDA growth of 33% when compared to last year. Maintenance CapEx is slightly below our guidance due to the phasing. Our change in working capital is trending to neutral, Interest paid reflect our capital structure as of March and its associated coupons, while whilst tax are due later in the year. All in all, we are showing today a 15% revenue growth, which implies more than doubling our adjusted EBITDA growth when compared to last year. Moving now to our balance sheet on slide 23. Cellnex leverage for the period has reached 4.3x net debt annualized EBITDA after investing more than 700 million euros in the previous months. Compared to December 2016, our balance sheet mostly reflects the increase in debt instruments and its associated cash inflow in the period. Moving to slide 14, and as a summary, let me please highlight that today we are presenting again a solid set of results. We are posting a strong and consistent organic growth, coupled with a progress on our additional value creation initiatives, such as the framework agreement with the fourth mobile operator in Italy and a new decommissioning project. Finally, we are reiterating our guidance for the full year 2017. The next section address several key topics that I believe are self-explanatory, but I am more than happy to answer any question you may have. Let's please start the Q&A session.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Sorry, the line was a bit bad. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking the questions. It's Simon from Barclays. I just wondered if you could elaborate a bit on your financial flexibility. Do you still see a lot of scope to be able to do further deals in future? Secondly, on, you mentioned earlier that you wanted to see DAS at Comscom become a significant contributor to revenues in future. Could you just talk me through a bit more about your small cell strategy? Because we've seen you do a couple of partnerships recently with JCDecaux and I think a Spanish real estate company as well.
Yeah.
Could you also just comment on how you look at fiber assets? We've seen Crown Castle, who are quite big at small cells in the U.S., have bought up quite a few fiber assets in the last year or so. That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the financial flexibility, as you can see, we do have right now 2 billion euros in cash and available credit lines. These credit lines are long-term, so between three and five years. Also, you know that we have tapped the debt market, the bond market, with bond market issuance of 10 years. On top of that, two private placements that I think that also 10 and nine years. The thing is that the market, the debt market is giving us, we have the door open. Our backlog is huge. We are talking about more than 12 billion euros of backlog. This is recognized by bond investors, and I think that that's the reason why Cellnex has the flexibility to fund acquisitions with debt. Also bear in mind something, when you have 2 billion euros of available debt, is because the perception of the debt community, banks and bondholders, is positive. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this money. It is not only my perception of flexibility, it's also the perception of the market regarding Cellnex. Also, as we were seeing in the full year results, Cellnex delivered very quickly, and we estimate that at least 0.6x in terms of net debt EBITDA should decrease Cellnex in one year. This give us headroom to grow, headroom to fund further deals. You have your second question was Conscom. As you know, Conscom, it's a great opportunity for us. It's opening. We are opening up the not only the Italian market, in which Conscom was already, but also the Spanish market. We have been building up alliance, as you were suggesting before, and you have here the results. I mean, with a strong growth that we hope in the future can go on. We are very active in our core markets, very active with Conscom, and the results step by step are recognized by clients, not only because of the economics of the transactions that we do think make sense for both sides, but also for the very good quality that we are delivering to clients. It's not only a question of economics, it's also a question of credibility, of credentials. And I think Conscom is building up these credentials, and this is being recognized. And I think, Juanjo, you can explain better than me the third question.
Sure. Simon, on your last question, I guess that, as you know, we are still trying to develop our strategy in Europe for small sales and DAS. At this stage, I think we are far from considering acquisitions like the ones that Crown Castle is executing in the States. So I guess that in the short term, our approach will be to make use of existing fiber assets, or maybe by reaching agreements with third parties rather than executing direct investments. But again, this is something that we are at early stages and we might consider in the future.
Makes sense. Thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session is in order. So if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. Next question is from Mr. Max Gilbert from New Street Research. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, I have a question on your decommissioning. So the 400 new towers to be decommissioned. Wonder if you can kind of disclose who's that with, what's the timing to be completed? And then also, I mean, do you have any more scope over and above the 2,000 towers to be decommissioned?
Well, in terms of timing, this process is not immediate. It takes a little bit of time. And the commissioning requires good planning, requires good service level, requires no disruption in our client's level of service. So I do think that circa 18 months will be 18 months could be a good proxy as of today. Regarding the second question, I don't remember which one it was. It was
Who is this deal with? Is it with one MNO
okay,
or
sorry.
Is it multiple?
The reason why I forgot the question. We cannot comment. Sorry.
Okay, sure. I guess maybe then just an additional one, if you don't mind. Given that clearly this is a positive update on your decommissioning story, I mean, can you see other opportunities in other markets like France
yes.
for similar things? Okay.
Of course.
And is that
the
making much progress?
Yes, we are not very good, on the very good direction. We feel very comfortable in this regard. You will see that this 2000 step by step is contractualized.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
Next question from Mr. Ottavio Adarizio from Societe Generale. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Couple of questions. The first is just a follow-up from the one you just answered. On top of the time frame, if you can just elaborate a bit on the economics of this decommission contract. Basically, the cost of the commission, I believe, is on your side rather than the client side. And if that's the case, what's the break-even on this contract? Given the contract, I don't know if you already signed the full contract or just a framework agreement. Just to understand when you're going to break even and which sort of return investments you have on this contract you're signing in.
Yes.
The second one is on the Bouygues side. You signed a contract in February for basically 1,800 towers but that will be only gradually given to you. So I just want to, you said at that time, I remember you you mentioned around 2 years. So given now that you've got a bit more months, if you have a bit more granularity and clarity on when these towers will come in, the bulk will be this year, will be next year, and if the payments are done simultaneously when the towers comes in or they're paid in advance. And the third, it's on tax. You basically mentioned in the presentations and during the call about the high conversion rates, and then you compare yourself to a number of towers, tower codes in Europe. Most of them are in Italy. Now, given your significant exposure to the market and given the fact that at least the table you show in your presentations said that most of the Italian tower codes paid in excess of 10% of the EBITDA, while yours at the group level is around only 2%. So my question is, how long your 2% is basically going to stay at this level? And which sort of framework you believe that now that you expand into new markets, if that 2% remain as such, or so you basically believe that the tax rate could increase or decrease from here? Thanks.
Thank you, Ottavio, for your question. Let's start by the last one, and I will go to the other ones. So the tax, I remembered, Ottavio, this question from you at the moment of the IPO. And we have been working on tax since then, and as you can see, being very consistent with this trend. So we are working on that. We have several things that are being, or several measures that are being implemented, which are very basic ones. Don't think this is elaborating strange things. It's just very basic ones, like the amortization depreciation policy. So assessing in detail every single CapEx we invest, how can be depreciated according to the law, and to make sense. Second, our structure. You know that we place our debt in the most, I would say to you, in the most advantaged place, so that it makes sense, no, when doing all the investments we carry out. Third, we have also comment that we have a patent box mechanism. Cellnex is a company that generates know-how, and this know-how we set up contracts which are fully compliant with the European directives and allow us to somehow take advantage of the regulation in European countries for companies that foster research and development. Also, you know that in some specific countries we are taking into account the national interest deduction, and that also it's helping us. So it's not only one measure, it's several things that put it together, allow us to take advantage allow us to comply with the law and to pay what we have to pay. Nothing more, nothing less. How long? Well, how long is the same for everything. How long interest rates are going to be like that? How long the organic growth is going to be like that? How long? Our base case scenario is that these policies, these different measures we are implementing, are long-term measures. I think that this is something that we take very seriously, and always compliance. So, and therefore, when you are compliant, you don't have to be worried about how long. There is another angle. You were saying your second question it was about Bouygues deal. You are right. We communicate to the market that Bouygues deal was going to be executed throughout the next quarters. It's not going to be executed in one day. And why? Because this is the acquisition of assets, it's not the acquisition of shares. If we were talking about the acquisition of shares, we would have paid upfront all the money, and maybe we would be having the EBITDA coming into the company. But also maybe we were paying more taxes, no? back to the previous question or the previous answer. So eventually what we have done is an asset deal. This takes time because we need the waiver of the landlord. We need to coordinate very well with the client. It is my feeling that we will obtain the results that we gave you at the full year 2016 presentation when we gave you the outlook, so limited impact in 2017. We will communicate you quarter by quarter how much we pay and how many towers we receive. And finally, regarding the economics, again, there are the same economies we talk in the IPO. So at the moment we were saying that roughly speaking, in general, and when we sign a contract like this contract that has been signed, we invest, let's say, 24,000, 25,000, 30,000 euros per the commission side, and then we have a payback that is fully compliant with our M&A golden rules for unlevered projects that that you know perfectly how these rules are. So we feel comfortable. The break even, I think that it takes in terms of payback. I cannot be very explicit, but is the payback is a good payback. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have another question from Mr. Fernando Cordero from Banco Santander. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is related with the announcement that you have made on the framework agreement with the Italian fourth MNO. I would like to know at which extent you can provide us some details of the agreement, if that agreement just applies to Italy or applies to other markets, if when do you expect that agreement to start delivering in terms of earnings, and what is your profile in that agreement? Are you a simple provider, the preferred provider for this Italian MNO, wherever is possible? Also, regarding the organic growth performance, I would like to discuss at which extent we should expect some acceleration of the organic growth in the coming two quarters, basically derived from the roaming regulation, as roaming prices in Europe have materially fallen, at which extent the traffic elasticity to the price will imply much more traffic in the countries where are net receivers of roamers, and at which extent that is going to be an organic growth lever, particularly, for example, for Spain and Italy in the coming quarters. My final question is regarding with the with M&A, and at which extent you can also provide us some views, particularly on timing, and any other details also welcome on the Sunrise tower disposal process. Thank you.
Okay, let's go step by step. First question. Yes, well, this is this fourth operator, obviously, is Iliad. We have signed a framework agreement. This framework agreement gives us the flexibility, give them the flexibility to choose, no, our sites with the parameters that are fully defined and that are coherent with both sides, no. This is a very important framework agreement for us that situates position Cellnex as a key player in the Italian market as an independent towerco, which in our view is essential, and also to give us further opportunities. And this is a first movement in what we can see more movements in the organic growth, in the subsequent organic growth. It is not only about POPs, it's also about engineering services, you cannot see this like a framework agreement for a POP, it's a framework agreement for a general service, for an entrance in a new country, that is the case. We are quite prudent in terms of what you are asking when, and we are back to the same answer we gave to you before. We do not see this having an impact in 2017, we are thinking that we will have some impact in 2018, and I'm pretty sure that later in the year we will update with our views on the outlook of 2018, and at that time we will be more, let's say, more open. So far, I think it's a very good step, I would say extremely good step in the very good direction, and position Cellnex where we want to be as a key independent tower co, delivering value for our shareholders and also respecting the path of our clients. You were just M&A deals. Well, we have talked before, we are quite active looking for opportunities that are compliant with our M&A golden rules. These M&A golden rules are quite clear and are quite demanding. So, yes, we are involved in different opportunities and we are making progress. If finally we are successful or not is something that takes time to know. However, I do think that in all the projects that we are right now involved are projects in which Cellnex can implement its know-how, in which Cellnex shows the competitive advantage based in a master service agreement, the competitive advantage in the level of service that we provide to our clients in the very full term, and also the creative solutions that we can bring into the table. Towering in Europe is starting, and we are the first mover here. I think that the other question, Juanjo, you are better positioned than me to answer.
Hi, Fernando. I guess the answer is potentially yes, but we are seeing today no indication that this could be the case, at least in the very short term. It makes sense that, again, intensification needs and more equipment is needed by operators, so there is some scope for us to capture partially some of that growth, but it's too early to say. We are seeing nothing changing in this front.
Okay. And just as a follow-up, particularly on the first question, when you are saying that the agreement with the football operator in Italy can offer further opportunities, and not only on the scope of the agreement, including engineering services, that further opportunities also include other geographical markets, or in other words, this agreement can be also implemented in France?
Fernando, we cannot be very explicit here. What we can say to you is that for us, we have been clear in this in full year 2016 results. For us, the synergies do not come only within a country. It's only thanks to a client. And this is something that from time to time we have to remind. But yes, the answer is, we are trying to work in different angles here, but not only with this client. So don't think I'm answering specifically about this client. I'm answering about how Cellnex works. Okay?
Very clear. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Okay, next question from Mr. Pedro Oliveira from BPI. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I had some problems hearing the call, so I don't know if I'm going to repeat something. But my first question is regarding your 8 million non-recurrent that you booked in the quarter. I was wondering if you could comment a little bit on the nature and if you expect further non-recurrent costs throughout the rest of the year. Also, if you can provide some color on the decline of network service and others in the quarter, and if this is a trend that we can extrapolate for the full year. And one final comment regarding the framework agreement that you just signed with the fourth operator in Italy. Does that disagreement imply any kind of exclusivity, or the operator can also sign other agreements with other tower operators in Italy or other geographies? Thank you.
Yeah, let's start by the last question. The framework agreement, it's as we were saying, is it's we have set up the foundations for a contract. So it is therefore it's the foundation for a for potentially contract, and it is very developed. But obviously as of today there is no exclusivity in which you can say it is already contractualized, fully contractualized everything. This is another step in the good direction. Okay, so step by step you will see how this evolves. Regarding network services and others, and I think that this is the communication we have always been very clear. Network services and others is again one business line that should grow following inflation. Maybe if you compare quarter by quarter, you can see it goes down a little bit, it goes up a little bit. So if you do not look at the quarter, but you look at the general trend and your projections, inflation is a good driver. It's very similar to broadcasting. So we are stable and have the same path. And finally, the non-recurrent, and we have been also here, it seems that are some items that we think are not going to be repeated. For instance, or maybe are non-cash items that do not add anything to the recurrent leverage free cash flow. So here we have several things. We have M&A, some M&A cost that we have incurred because of the weak deal. So when we execute a M&A deal, there are some costs that should be when you project. Yes, we have some cost, but at the same time we should have some EBITDA. You shouldn't project this because if you project this cost, you should project more M&A in your projections. Then you have some non-cash items that are the rest of them. And these non-cash items are provisions that we execute in order to renegotiate some contracts in the future. So according to IFRS, when we renegotiate some contracts, we have to recognize a provision. And in the future, you will see the cash flows and the adjustments in the EBITDA. So these are one-offs that are not recurrent and we don't think make sense.
In any case, Pedro, and also for the rest of the audience, on the Excel sheet provided, you can find a full breakdown of these elements, both the M&A expenses, which are cash, and then the balance 6 million, which is non-cash items. So the full breakdown is provided in the Excel file.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
We have another question from Mr. Charles Menadier from Kempen & Co. Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon. Just two quick ones from my side. First one on the site decommissioning. So can you confirm that the incremental POPs you expect to get from decommissioning are included in your POP growth guidance for the year? And if that's the case, then how much of the decommissioning do you include in your guidance? That's the first one. And second one, on the 2,200 build-to-suit sites, how many you expect to build this year?
Hi Charles, on your second question, very specifically, there are two deals included in this progress that we have pictured in this slide. The first one is the 400 sites agreement for wind. This process has been delayed because of the merger between Wind and Hutchison in Italy. So the moment that they have a clearer picture on how to deploy their own network, we will start executing this deal. So that is why the execution has been delayed. We lack visibility today, but obviously the commitment remains, and it's completely up to the customer to come back to us to start deploying this agreement. The second deal included in this progress is the build-to-suit stage associated with the transaction we announced at the beginning of this year. This process is already in place, but given the nature, which is we start with engineering, we start asking for the permits, so it's a process that takes longer than obviously the acquisition stage. So that is why our base case is assuming the contribution of these new towers from 2020, 2022, approximately. So you should see the contribution from these towers at a longer term, not in a very short term.
Regarding the guideline, you are talking about the 3-4%. The 3% in general, you know, the organic growth has several legs. First of all is the pure organic growth. Second is the build-to-suit, and then we have the decommissioning. This 3-4% is more related to the pure organic growth. However, it is true that when you see our growth going a little bit higher, no, 4% in the north, 4% is because there are other angles that are taking place. I'm pretty sure that as the build-to-suit program of week that Juanjo was explaining, when these decommissioning contractualized sites are decommissioned, are rationalized, I'm pretty sure that that this growth, 3-4%, the growth in terms of POP will be higher than this. So, but you know, we tend to be prudent, and we somehow think that this 3-4% is when projecting in the very long term, this is what you should consider. And in the short term, medium term, it is true that this 3-4% should be somehow upgraded with the commissioning contracts and build to suit.
Okay, thank you, very clear.
We have another question from Mr. Nelson Bernardino from Haitong Bank. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone. Thanks for taking my question. So just two very quick ones left from my side. So the first one is on slide 19, you mentioned how you calculate the IRRs for your M&A and your projects. Can you just give some indication of the, say, the standard level of leverage you consider to calculate the IRRs? And the second question is, can you comment a little bit on any possible impact you would expect due to some possible reshuffling of your shareholder structure due to the offer of Atlantia, possible offer of Atlantia by to buy Abertis stake? Thank you very much.
Second question is very easy, no comment. First question, regarding the IRR, the equity IRR. So as you can see here in the slide, what we implement is a project financing at local level, which is non-recourse. So we go to banks, we ask the banks to give us the term sheets that define this level of project financing. So how much debt a bank or a pool of banks can give to that project, taking into account the MSA, the OPEX and CAPEX, and taking into account some rational organic growth that we think we can consider. We do not take into account synergies. And also taking into account the tax that have to be paid in the country, and also the working capital that these MSA and OPEX suppliers require. So the thing is that the banks, taking into account all this, give us a quantum of debt, give us the maturity of this debt, the spread of this debt, covenants, if any, and a full lock. So essentially, this is how we estimate the IRRs. So it's fully compliance with any single project in the different countries, as any infrastructure player would do.
Okay, I don't know. You probably are not comfortable commenting that. So say something like half financing, half equity, half debt would be something standard, or you think it varies a lot project by project?
It's project by project. You cannot compare. You cannot compare geographies. It's difficult. The easiest answer is what you are suggesting, but we go into the details. So it's not only how much debt they give us to us, it's at what cost. And if this cost is tax deductible, it's not tax deductible. So it is a little bit more complex than all that, no? The only thing is I can tell you is that is market condition. So we do not mix our capacity of raising debt at Cellnex with the capacity of raising debt at the project level. So we do not pay any synergy at all.
Okay, thank you.
We have another question from Mr. Pavan Shaw from Bank of America. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking the questions. So I've got four, if that's okay. So one just on the growth, because I think there's a degree of confusion on this. The 3-4% growth that you previously quoted now goes up to 4%. And that you're saying is organic. So on top of this, should we be adding something for the decommissioning? Or because obviously your growth guidance longer term is only to 2019. So in the coming years, the decommissioning will be happening. So is it 3-4% plus something or not? The second is just on Iliad, and I appreciate you're probably quite sensitive to adding any details around that. But just from your end, do you have a clear understanding of what the value of this contract is? Because obviously we, when we're looking at this, look at tenants, value per tenant, potential rollout for Iliad. There's a lot of variables in that, and I understand it's an early stage framework agreement, but do you have a clear kind of floor for what the value should be? The third question is just around Atlantia Albertis, and just more broadly on that. Are you comfortable with Albertis or whoever that shareholder happens to be exiting your company, or do you feel you need some kind of anchor shareholder in your shareholding structure? And the final question is just on M&A more generally. Are there any deals on the horizon that are quite large? Because I know your strategy is to start off small, build up. Are there any deals on the radar that are quite large that would necessitate an equity raising, and are you comfortable with doing something like that? Thank you.
Hi, Parin. Very short as a quick answer on your first question, the answer is yes. We have now we are now more accurate on the organic growth guidance on how we see the medium term in terms of organic growth. So that's why we are setting it now at 4%, which will be complemented with the commission opportunity. So new POPs, new POPs coming from the commissioning will be on top of this 4%.
In the short term, we were talking before short term, medium term, but in the long term, 3%, 4% is the guidance, no?
Yeah. On the could you please clarify your second question, because you were referring to an agreement, but we couldn't hear about specifically who. Sorry, can you
repeat? Okay, yeah, no, sorry about that. Just in terms of Iliad more generally.
What is
the actual value?
Well, okay. So the value of this contract, this is a framework agreement. So now this is a first step. Well, the first step. This is a very good step in the very good direction, in order to contractualize the services. No, the thing here is when you talk about value, you know that we cannot be here more explicit, but take into account that this is a win-win agreement for both sides, that it's a very comprehensive agreement, and that brings to the table all the value that an independent TowerCo can put into the table. So I cannot be more explicit like that. As we were saying before, as the quarters comes in, we will guide you on this value step by step of how this comes into our EBITDA. You were talking about Albertis and Atlantia deal. Well, listen, yesterday we have a general assembly meeting. The chairman of the company was clear, he is satisfied with Cellnex, and that's all I can comment. I cannot go beyond that. I think Cellnex, it's a company that can bring a lot of value into the table. So I am fully convinced, and I'm pretty sure that any shareholder that has the opportunity to join us recognize this value, and therefore will be any shareholder will be very commensurate and accurate about their own decision making process. And finally, regarding any deals, again, back to the one of the first questions, the financial flexibility, we have a lot of tools to fund the deals and a huge backlog, by the way. So let's go step by step and you will see what we can do, what we cannot do. We have very demanding and many golden rules. So it's not easy to execute deals. It's not impossible. You know that this year we have already presented very important deals for you. Pretty sure that we will go on working and presenting to you things that make sense for the shareholders.
Great, that's very clear. Just on the growth, I had a quick follow-up. So the 3-4% is now 4% because you have greater clarity. Now, is that around Iliad or something else? And then more generally, when you start adding these decommissioning tenants, are you going to report an organic plus decommissioning plus M&A, et cetera? So there will be a separate amount for the amount of decommissioning sites that you're bringing on.
No, listen, pardon, here we have commented the guideline. I will repeat again. So let's wait a little bit. We have been clear in your short term, medium term. This 3-4% should be a floor. On top of that, build to suit, and on top of that, the commissioning should be a good proxy. In the long term, the 3-4% makes sense. This is our best estimate right now. It's in line with what we said to you in full year results. You do know perfectly that we are a prudent company. We could here overestimate everything. It's not our style. We go step by step, delivering and being credible. So we feel very comfortable with this growth we have given in this quarter. We do think it's very sustainable, and in the future we are quite positive.
Okay, great. Appreciate the details and the answers. Thank you.
Next question from Mr. John Thorne from Jefferies. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. I have three questions, please. Starting with Switzerland, I appreciate there's a process ongoing and you can't be specific, but what it would be interesting to hear is, as you look across your existing European operations and then you look at Switzerland, where exactly would you rank Switzerland as a market opportunity, be it from market structure or existing coverage or progressive nature of the MNOs, whatever it may be, where would Switzerland sit in your overall ranking of attractiveness of market? Secondly, back on the Iliad agreement, it's a very quick one. Why is this a framework agreement and not a contract? Any color there would be useful. And then the third question is a bit more of a long-term vision around the sector. And as we see mobile network innovation constantly progress and more of the network intelligence virtualize and go into the cloud, it feels like there could be a scenario where what we call active equipment today could actually become much more passive in nature and therefore sit more comfortably in the hands of the tower co. It feels like this could be a very long-term opportunity. Is that a vision of the way mobile technology is progressing that you share or think about or talk about or not at all? That was it. Thank you.
Hi, Giles. On your third question, we fully agree. It is true that we are still trying to destroy this cultural barrier in terms of outsourcing passive infrastructure, although we are doing extremely good progress. We might have the impression that we are still far from making operators comfortable in terms of sharing active equipment, but the rationale is exactly the same. So we fully agree, and when the opportunity arises, we will be there. Remember that our legacy business in Spain has been for many years the broadcasting business, where we do everything. So we invest in the active equipment, we manage the whole network. So we do have the experience. We combine different contents in just one signal. So this is something that also feasible from a technical perspective in translating this approach for the mobile communications world. So we are ready to do so. It's a matter of operators being softer to this idea in the future. So happy to work in that direction.
Okay, you had a question about Switzerland. For us, it's not the country. It's not only the country the key driver on a deal when we assess the deal. The key driver is the MSA. So let's talk about MSA. Let's talk about what a independent tower co can do in a country, but the most important thing with a client. And this is what we assess in all the countries in Europe in which we come across with a deal. So what can I bring to the table today and tomorrow? So I'm quite reluctant to say to you, well, we like this country because of this characteristic or because of characteristic. I would say to you, we like this contract because this contract allows me to sit down with my client, to propose to my client these solutions, to become a partner with my client. And from this perspective, the answer is yes. We are assessing several opportunities in Europe that I think make sense from an industry perspective. And from this angle, we do think that Cellnex is unique. It's quite unique. Because we have all the ingredients, all the tools to give services in a tailor-made situation to our clients.
Understood. And then finally on the I'm rather guessing why it's not a contract it would be interesting.
Well, because this is a process. First of all, you have to set up the foundations of potential agreements, okay? And then obviously here you sit down again, you understand the needs, to build up, and step by step, we will crystallize, if this is a win-win agreement, that we think is a win-win agreement, we will crystallize this in contracts and value. But this is a process, so don't think that this is the end. This is a good step in the very good direction that only a tower, independent tower company can do in such a big way. Okay, there can be other tower cores that can do something similar, but will be always smaller, will be always slower. And here what we try somehow to do is framework agreement, we have the foundations to do something more. Let's go step by step.
Understood. If I could just do a quick follow-up. It seems to me a lot of the rhetoric has moved away from you've driven the message away from infrastructure services to infrastructure services from just kind of rental services. As you're participating in these M&A processes, do you get the sense that some of your tower co-peers are also pitching in the same way? So you offer a bundled services agreement with engineering thrown in or whatever it may be, which sounds differentiated, but is it actually differentiated? Or are your tower co-peers in these processes also pitching themselves in a similar way?
Well, pitching is possible, that all of us we pitch in the same way. But reaching agreements is different. So you can pitch yourself, yes, you are right. You can do something coherent or to tell an equity story or to tell to explain a customer story, which is, you can pitch it, that's easy. What is difficult is to somehow crystallize this into a contract, into a framework agreement, into value. And then here, yes, I can tell you in every single process we come across, in which Cellnex has the opportunity to sit down and to elaborate Well, the results are there. The big deal. You know that back to France 2016, December, January 2017, you all know that we lost FPS. SPS was being sold down by an infrastructure fund. For us, it's difficult. It's difficult to win. It's more difficult to win in this situation compared to others in which you can sit down, you can elaborate, you can bring a new contract from scratch. And this is, again, this tailor-made contract agreement is our competitive advantage. And this is, that's a reality. So, and in this regard, we are alone, so far alone.
Understood. Thank you very much.
We have another question from Andreas Ateliades from CapView Capital. So, madam, please go ahead.
Hi there. I have a few questions. As part of your Shear and Bouygues deals, did you agree to dismantle any sites? And if so, how many? Question number two, what do you think is the cost of building a tower in Europe, for instance, a country like France? Question number three, could you explain the $27 million you spent in expansion and other capex during the quarter, and does that include a $6 million payment to Abertis for cancelling the office lease in Madrid? And lastly, why did your intangible assets go up by $370 million in Q1? Thank you.
Well, listen, let's go sure. Step by step.
On the first question, the answer is no. The agreement is very clear. There's a first stage in order to transfer existing assets, and a second stage linked to creating new infrastructure. So there is no dismantling agreement. On your second question, the cost might be quite wide, depending on the country, depending on the typology. Mostly, of the site you want to build depends if it's a rural tower or urban site. But it might be ranging from maybe 40,000 to 100,000, roughly. Again, that depends on the typology of the site that one wants to be building. Your third question.
Your third question was about the, I think you said, if you can help me, in my balance sheet, you said that the assets had been increased by 350 million euros, I think you have said, no?
That was question number four. Intangible assets were up by 370 million.
Listen, let's go to page 13, where you can see here the balance sheet. Okay, so, I am here going through fixed assets. There is no such a big change. Goodwill, there is no such a big change. Other financial assets, there is no such a big change. Debtors, there is no such a big change. Cash and cash equivalents, you have the explanation. We have here issue a bond, and we are seeing cash up due to the new bond issuance in January 2017. Okay. So, but according to information of page 13, this is what I can answer. And the other question was about,
I guess that has to do with that's actually a 2016 the question. That is that correct? Regarding some provisions on headquarters in Madrid, no. Is that correct?
No, that was 27 million you spent during the quarter as part of your cash flow statement in your company Excel, broken down by expansion capex and other net cash flows. And does that include a $6 million payment to Abertis for cancelling the office lease in Madrid for which you provisioned last
year?
No.
Listen, we have not paid anything to Abertis. I'm very sorry about that. And in fact, I do not understand where you are getting that information.
In your company Excel, in the cash flow statement breakdown.
Yeah. But you are talking about 2016 results.
No, sorry.
No, Q1 17.
Correct. That's 11 million of expansion capex.
Sure.
Then that's 16 million of other net cash outflows.
That's right.
And basically, I mean, there is nothing associated with any payment to any payment
properties. No, it's not at all.
What is that capex?
The expansion capex you have here in foot number 6. Tower adaptation for new tenants, 4 million euros. Ground leases, This is the cash advance program, 7 million euros, and okay. Other, well, roughly speaking. So you have here the footnotes.
Sure. Is it relating to renegotiating ground leases, or could you give
color
on...
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's the cash advance program and land acquisition program that we explained the full year results, 2016.
Okay, so this is growth CapEx.
The 11 million euros, footnote number 6, yes, it's clearly okay. Explained, expansion CapEx.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have another question from Mr. Jonathan Dan from RBC. Sorry, sir, please go ahead.
Hi there. Three questions. The first one, the new MNO contracts, both the build to suit and also Iliad, are they being priced at sort of revenue per tower similar to the existing wind MSA, or are they? And then my second two questions. You mentioned 2,200 build to suit, and I think you called out 1,200 for Bouygues, 400 for wind. Who's the other 400? And then my third and final question is a two-parter. My third question is a simple one. Has there been a restatement in the gas nodes? It looks like the number you've reported for end 2016 is now higher than it was when you reported it at the end of 2016.
Sorry, John, on your third question, can you please repeat that?
Oh, so I think gas nodes, you've said you've got 1,134 compared to 1,072 for 2016. And I think when you reported the full year, you said it was 949. So it looks like it's gone up by 100 and something.
Let us check this, Jonathan, and we will give you an answer.
This is a very detailed question for this event, but let me please double check your specific concern, and I'll come back to you, okay? On your first question, the economics are slightly different. Bear in mind that when an operator, in the context of the Galata transaction, for example, they sell towers, we pay for that portfolio in exchange of future cash flows. Build-to-suit economics might be a bit different. Usually what we include in this business plan is the construction cost. The returns are similar, but also the associated fees coming from the tenant might be different. So in terms of return, the spirit of the whole transaction is exactly the same, but economics per tower are different. On the 2,200 target for build-to-suit, it is true that the progress states the 400 towers agreement with Wind, and also the recent agreement with Telecom for 1,200 towers. The rest is part of the target, not contracted yet. So this is an opportunity that we still need to pursue.
Can I ask a follow-on on the market rates? If I'm a potential second customer for an existing site, am I basically making a decision between a rental from you guys that's around the ground rent, sort of 10,000-11,000, versus build my own? Is that roughly the pricing decision I make?
Yes, obviously, wouldn't be reasonable to offer a fee on our tower much higher than the OPEX associated with owning one tower. Obviously, by sharing infrastructure, we are able to offer an interesting terms. The fee we can offer on top of an existing tower that is already used by other tenants tends to be lower than the OPEX someone would be incurring by investing in their own infrastructure. Yes.
Can I ask one last follow-on? Sorry about this. So from the delay in the 400 build-to-suit with Wind, can we infer that Wind and Three Italia, they haven't yet made any decisions about how to combine their portfolio? So in the future, we could still expect someone to win a decommissioning, site sharing, fiber to the site. There's still a lot of Wind Three Italia new business.
John, we cannot comment on this. We have to be very respectful in this regard.
But so far, nothing's been agreed. There's no agreement
yet.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
We have another question from Mr. Henry Karp from Credit Suisse. Sir, please go ahead. Sir, your microphone is open. Mr. from Credit Suisse? Credit Suisse? Okay. So we have another question from Mr. Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Sir, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Three very quick questions. The first is if you can share with us the country where you are executing the commission, just to understand the trends and in the countries. The second question is just a clarification when you were referring to the Bouygues transfer of asset. If I understood properly, you said that basically in Q1 we haven't seen any contribution in terms of towers. And I want to check this. And very last, on the small cell opportunity, I'm trying to understand if you expect to provide at some point, at some stage, some targets in terms of medium-term contribution from this opportunity, because so far really the granularity is very limited, and it's difficult to me to understand the how you are evolving and the opportunity for the medium term.
Hi Domenico. Very quickly on your last question, we already provided as of full year results and the previous quarter some sort of indication, obviously based on the preliminary market information, because as you know that this sector is still starting in Europe. There are some market estimates in terms of revenues growth going forward, and some market participants said that at 20% revenues growth in the medium to long term. Obviously, if we shouldn't be expecting that Cellnex growing less than that, so that's why we believe that from 2018 this activity should be growing at this 20% revenues growth going forward. But again, we've already said we are still learning, we are still positioning ourselves and trying to capture opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yes, regarding you were saying your first question was about a counter on the commissioning, no?
Just to clarify, Domenico, was it about the countries or?
Yes, the countries. Okay. Yes.
Countries, sorry. No, these are different countries. So these are different countries, okay? And I think there was another country which was about just a confirmation, I think, in fact, more than a question. And the answer is yes, we can confirm that what you have said is right. In Q1, there has not been transfer of assets from Bouygues. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
We have another question from Mr. German Garcia from JB Capital. Sir, please go ahead.
Sorry. Good morning, sirs, and thank you for taking my question. It relates to your annual guidance of 330 to 340 million adjusted EBITDA. Don't you think it's conservative, given the first quarter print, which annualized would take us already to that target, without taking into account the savings or even the Bouygues contribution for the rest of the year? Isn't it conservative, as I stated? Thank you very much.
Well, let's say it's achievable. Conservative or not, let's go quarter by quarter. It's achievable. We feel comfortable, and we think we can get it. Yes, the answer is we can get it, and we would like to guide you always on a solid basis. Okay, let's go step by step. The company is performing well. That's a reality. I feel positive that what we are seeing is good performance, and week after week. So I would say to you that if we change the guideline can be later, not as of today. So far, doing the delivery we commit with. Okay.
And just one last clarification on the questions we have recently received on the ACE notes. We have internally checked, and the information we have provided this quarter is exactly the same as a full year. In any case, John, I don't know if you're on the line. Happy to discuss this later if it's still unclear. Okay, but confirm that we have provided exactly the same information. And now, as we have no more questions, we can finish this session. I would like to thank you for your time, and if more questions arise, as always, I remain at your disposal. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
This concludes the conference call. You may now disconnect.